Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company, challenging the status quo and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of innovative craft brews and non-alcoholic options, it's good to have friends. Learn more at Lagunitas.com.
For NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here in Washington, D.C., and in New York City are Hazel Sills.
Hey.
And Marissa LaRusso.
Hello, Bob.
I'm so happy we're doing this show today, and most happy because, hey, have you guys heard the Lana Del Rey by any chance?
Boy, have I heard it.
Kind of figured. And so I want to kick off with it, but I'm really eager to hear what you both have to say about it. This is a 7-minute song. The song is called A&W, and if you want to tell us what that is in a minute, you can do that. But I just love the way this song develops, and I love that it almost sounds like it's all over about 4 minutes in, but the best is yet to come.
Yeah, A&W, which is not a reference to the fast food American chain, although I guess it could be, but this song is not about eating burgers and fries on the side of a highway. It's such a weird one from Lana. I'm a big Lana fan, and I just feel like this song is like almost if she wrote like a whole song. The lyrics are very interesting, and yeah, it's a weird one from her.
Let's listen.
Awesome. Here we go.
Seems like the back door to tempt me. I'm invisible, look how you hold me.
someone to love me anymore. Okay. Now this is the experience of being an American whore. It's not about having someone to love me anymore. Now this is the experience of being an American whore.
Breath. No, it wasn't about fast food.
Yeah, I just love that lyric. I am a princess. I'm divisive. Ask me why I'm like this. Maybe I'm just kind of like this. That to me was like the Courtney Love-ism in that song.
Whole song.
Yeah. I really love this song because I think it's a testament to how weird Lana Del Rey's music has become. You know, she started as this kind of artificial pop star and attracted a lot of vitriol. And, you know, over the years, over the last few albums, her music has just gotten weirder and looser and grungier in some aspects. And this song is interesting because it sort of includes both sides of her. It starts as this very, like, wordy, almost spontaneous, almost like a voice memo track with her on piano, and then by the end of it, it's a grade school rap.
And for me, grade school, like when I was like really, really little, because there's this line about Shimmy Shimmy Coco Bop, which was a song I knew as a little kid from Little Anthony and the Imperials. But go on. Tell me more, because the production was so amazing. I think, was it Jack Antonoff that did this?
Yeah, Jack Antonoff co-wrote and produced this, and he's been working with her for a minute now. And you can really tell that that's a Jack Antonoff song, because he loves switching up a song in the middle of it. And
yes.
He's done that with Lorde. He's done that with Taylor Swift. And just the way that that song kind of immediately transports you into this tinny, like, synth pop world. It's such a nice little surprise at the end, and really kind of throws you off. It threw me off, at least.
Subject-wise, folks, you want to? Do we want to touch it?
I thought it was pretty clear, Bob. Like, I don't know what needs to be. Yeah, I think the subject matter of the song, like, also with Lana, is interesting because, you know, Lana Del Rey is a pop star who loves to play with the signifiers of American pop music and American archetypes like Marilyn Monroe, Jackie Kennedy. There's lots of American flags in her music videos. And, like, this song feels sort of like she's playing with those caricatures, but also, like, weirdly personal and, like, kind of intimate. And I don't know. There's just something about it that I listen to this song and I'm like, I feel like she just sat down, opened up her phone, and, like, started singing. And that's, like, a quality that I admire in this song.
Yeah, I haven't followed her career as closely as you have, Hazel, but something that you wrote about this song for NPR Music's Now Playing blog, and something you wrote in there really clicked for me, where you talked about how, you know, Lana has embodied these, like, very American feminine pop archetypes throughout the course of her career. And over the course of her career, we've kind of seen those archetypes crumble, and she's begun to write music that combines those elements of, like, caricature with real vulnerability. And when I heard the song, that just really clicked for me. There's something that really kind of feels like Lana letting her guard down in this song, and it made me want to really sit up and pay attention to what she was saying.
Yeah, I mean, she talks about her physical appearance. She talks about not being believed in terms of, like, sharing stories about her being raped and, like, talking about, oh, did you know a singer could look like this at the age of 33? And I feel like she's really incorporating a lot of narratives about herself in the media and, like, the ways people have projected onto her and her music in this song. And but then by the end of it, it sort of is kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that she's having a little fun with it. Clearly, she and Jack are having fun with it in the end. And so it's a weird song, but I love weird.
That's awesome. So that's A&W, Lana Del Rey, our first choice. I'm here with Hazel Sills and Marissa LaRusso. Lana Del Rey mentions a few pop things in that song. Forensic Files, a show. Watching Teenage Diary of a Girl, a film. So the next song we're going to play is sort of all about films.
It is. Okay, Bob, Hazel, are you fans of Sydney Gish?
I don't know her work that well, actually.
And I haven't heard her in absolute years. I'm trying to remember. I thought there was, like, some Jackson Browne cover. Am I getting the right Sydney Gish right here?
She did, yeah. In 2019, she covered the song Somebody's Baby. I fell in love with her music in 2017. She put out an album called No Dogs Allowed.
Oh, yeah.
And it is, it's so good. It's filled with these, like, little witty kind of lo-fi bedroom pop songs. Lots of hooks, lots of loops, lots of harmonies. Just, like, so fun. And then she hasn't put out a full album since then. But I did see her live in New York last December. She was so good, so funny and, like, wacky. But anyway, she promised that there was new music coming. So I was really just anticipating new music. And then earlier this month, she put out a couple songs as part of Sub Pop's Singles Club series. And so the first song, as you alluded to, Bob, is called Filming School. So let's listen to that.
Have you ever even seen a film? A couple of things to keep in mind if you are watching. A couple of things. On occasion there will be plot points. On occasion there'll be art.
Oh my.
On occasion there'll be long pretentious things to tell apart from real content.
How?
In the best of times and worst of times, that line is up to you. It's up to you. What's worth watching once enrolled in filming school? But everybody's got their litmus test. What
what's worth watching, what is best, and it's no different even once you're there. Once I'm there, don't enroll, I won't enroll, fill me school. I got my litmus test back and it said you're the best, back and it said I'm the best, 'cause we're worth watching, we're enrolled in filming school. We walked around that blank museum and cried our tears and held our hands, and we were each other's best friends, and we went down to town and said a million things are happening that are so smart and beautiful. Yes, you passed my litmus test, yes, I swear that you're the best. No, you're the best, no, you're the best, no, you're the best, watching, you're worth watching here. Once I'm there, don't enroll, I won't enroll, filming school. Occasion there will be plot points, on occasion there'll be art, oh, on occasion there'll be nothing left at all, but that's alright for me. What's worth watching? What's worth stopping? What's just boring? Don't enroll, don't enroll, filming school. What's just boring? Don't enroll, don't enroll, filming school. What's just boring? Don't enroll, don't enroll, filming school. What's just boring? Don't enroll.
Sweet.
It's so adorable. Have you ever wanted to go to film school?
I personally am really stupid about film, so I probably could use some time in film school. But like Sydney Gish, who said that she wrote this song when thinking about film school, which she did not attend. I did not attend film school. Hazel, you seem like a candidate.
I did not go to film school. I studied art history, but this song does remind me of my senior year of college when I had a bunch of extra credits to fill, and I spent all of them in the NYU film department watching movies like Psycho and 2001 Space Odyssey, just completely wasting my time in the name of education. So sort of went to film school, barely.
I love that. So tell me more about Sydney Gish in this song, and is it pointing to another record or anything?
Not that I know. Yeah. She said when she released these songs that she starts lots of songs but finishes very few, and she said, sometimes I try to overcome this habit by skipping the quote-unquote ideas phase and improvising a song to completion within a few hours. So that's how she wrote Filming School. She actually started recording it at home in her Brooklyn apartment in 2021 and said that she kind of freestyled the lyrics while she was thinking about film school. So I hope that there's even more new music from her on the way. My advice, skip the ideas phase and just improvise a bunch of songs like that. I would personally be thrilled.
Love it. Let's continue this theme of film and a song I want to bring to the table by Sean Barna. Do either of you know Sean Barna?
No, I don't know.
So I know Sean Barna because he's involved in the DC music scene for a good long time, and so I know him well from there. I also saw an amazing performance of his at South by Southwest a number of years ago. Well, number maybe is 2019, not big a number. But he's got this David Bowie quality to him that I quite love, maybe leaning towards the hunky-dory side of David Bowie at times, but also he's got that glam in him too. He wrote this song called Benjamin Wishaw Smiled, and it's from a new album he has come in. I asked him to tell me a little bit about the song because he talks a little about things about Bob Dylan and walking in down West 4th Street and stuff. So I wanted to know more, and then I'll play the song from Sean Barna.
I think every artist has to reckon with the walk to work. I have a lot of friends that have been touring as long as I've been working at a bar. But you have to hold the strength inside. My walk to work was interesting because I would get out at West 4th Street in Greenwich Village, a couple blocks from where the Gaslight Cafe was, where Bob Dylan and Joan Baez and all these folk singers would change the world with their songs. And I walked down West 4th Street, and I walked past Bob Dylan's house where he lived when he wrote Freewheelin', and on that same block where the photo on the cover of Freewheelin' was taken. Anyway, this was my daily walk. One day, I walk by the last block before work. I walk by a bistro, and I see Benjamin Wishaw in the window. I am a queer person, and I'm a queer artist, and I'm bartending. He is a queer person and a queer artist, and he's massively successful and massively talented and beautiful. And I was kind of like, actually, it was really hard to be at work that day. I didn't feel good about myself, but I did imagine a love affair with me and him. And that's what this song is about. Benjamin Wishaw smiled.
I love when people talk about the sorts of things they think about and then tell everybody out loud, because we all think probably some strange things walking around, and I love when artists do that. That's Sean Barna. The song is Benjamin Wishaw smiled.
I will say, Bob, I recently moved to New York, last year, and I'm, like, still adjusting to it, still kind of being, like, amazed and frustrated by it all the time. And it's really nice to hear other people, like, even in that voice note that he sent, just hearing someone else being kind of wowed by living here and making art about other people who made art in New York. I haven't seen a celebrity and written a rock song about an imagined love affair with them yet, but, you know, this made me think maybe
I should. There's time. You just got here. You're going to see a lot of celebrities.
Spring is coming.
So true.
So that song will be on Sean Barner's second album. It's first for Kill Rock Stars, and it comes out in the middle of May. It's called An Evening at Macri Park. You know what we got to do? We got to take a break. We'll be right back, but we have some pretty kind of interesting stuff coming in the second half, yeah?
I think so.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox. Discover powerful new series like Three Little Birds and BAFTA-winning drama Time, starring Bella Ramsey, Tamara Lawrence, and Jodie Whittaker. Stream the best of British TV only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com. This message comes from NPR sponsor Squarespace. Measure your end-to-end online performance with powerful website and seller analytics. Get insights on top traffic sources, understand how your reach is growing, and more. Use code NPR to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Why is everyone so obsessed with traditional wives or trad wives on social media? This week, we're talking about the viral videos of women making marshmallows and mozzarella from scratch, and how behind the sheen of calm kitchens and cute fits, there's some interesting pessimism about our modern world. And that's worth digging into. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan with Hazel Sills and Marissa LaRusso. And we have some great songs for you all coming up. And the first one is Caroline Rose. And I thought I knew Caroline Rose, but then I heard this song, Marissa.
Yeah. They have a new record coming out called The Art of Forgetting. And I have been so impressed with the singles from this new record so far. I first heard Caroline when they put out a record called Loner a few years ago, and it was like really sharp, funny, smart kind of pop songs. And then they put out another record called Superstar in 2020, and I liked those records, but these new singles seem a lot like, I don't know, kind of darker than their past music. And I mean, I think this record was in part inspired by a breakup, so maybe that's part of it. But there's just like a lot of kind of drama and vulnerability and self-reflection in these songs. And Caroline just kind of builds this really like compelling sonic world that I feel very like drawn into. I don't know. I really love this new song. It's called The Doldrums, and I think we should listen to it.
Awesome.
In a dream, there's someone I hate. A smile creeps across my face as they burn at the stake. Their hands are bound, they're crying out. But then I chose to wake with sweat pooled at my brow. Thank you.
Wow. I've had so much trouble the last few days finding music I loved, and you two are doing it.
Happy to do it. I wanted to just say a little bit about what Caroline had to say about this song, because I found it really interesting. They said, The Doldrums was the song I wrote when I was realizing I had basically no understanding of self-compassion. Hmm. It's about the voice inside my head that blames me for everything that's ever gone wrong, mostly things out of my control. My idea of rebirth and reformation at the time was killing off my old self and finding a new one, rather than simply being kind to myself. Not because I didn't want to be, but because I didn't really know how. Really intense, I think.
Yeah, so intense. And I really love the ending of that song where you get those kind of like animalistic like vocals, like mm-hmm. wild vocals, and then you get this really beautiful harp. And I don't know, it's interesting just thinking about being kinder to yourself and not being so hard on yourself or wanting to kill parts off of yourself. And I feel like I heard that in the music.
Totally.
And I think Nick Sanborn from Sylvanesso helped on the production mm-hmm. of this, which the whole sound that they have here is transformational. If you watch Caroline Rose's tiny desk concert from 2015 and listen to this, you'd be hard-pressed to think of it as the same performer. But they...
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I love
that. Yeah. The record is great. It's called The Art of Forgetting, and it comes out March 24th on New West Records.
What are you going to turn me on to, Hazel, that I don't know?
I'm going to turn you on to a song called Sandrail Silhouette by the artist Avalon Emerson and The Charm. And it's a weird one because this is a new project from the artist Avalon Emerson, and she is primarily an electronic musician. Like, I know her as making these like big, bright, highly danceable synth pieces. And she's also like a really prolific DJ. But this song is like a departure for her. It's kind of like a retro pop song. It actually, I feel like, works really well with the Caroline Rose song. And yeah, she is making music right now with this band, or sort of this shifting group called The Charm. And she's described The Charm as having no fixed roster and no fixed rules. It's a vehicle for expression and connection with Avalon at the helm. And so, yeah, it's a really interesting song and incredible to like hear her vocals and hear her taking her like electronic music background to make something that's, you know, basically a pop song.
Sandrail Silhouette, here we come.
Reason for an optimistic view.
Haviland Emerson. Hazel, do you know anything about the inspiration behind the sandrail silhouette? Because I'm not even sure I know what one is.
I don't even know if I know what one is either. But Avalon has said that this song to her is about scale. She said, "Scales of time and how something that seems so important and defining a long time ago might not really matter that much now. And then taking a step back and feeling the smallness of your own lifetime in the shadow of a 1,000-year-old tree. In that way, it's also about the here and now and not sleeping through the erosion of time." So it's a lot. Yeah, I mean, you can hear that in the song. She's talking about, like, ancient rocks and, you know, rings growing around trees. And it's an intense inspiration for a track.
Yeah, nice to think that you're just a tiny speck in a zillion-year-old universe.
Thanks a lot, Avalon. Oh, wow. Because a sandrail, I think, is a kind of a car. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go so deep down this rabbit hole later as soon as this is done. And so for right now, that's a single. I'm going to, hope for more soon.
Same.
Mm-hmm. So we got one more. Hazel, you've got the last pick, too. Here we go.
Yeah. So this song is called Glue Song by Biba Doobie. And it is a gushy little love song about being so in love with someone that you stick to them like glue. It's really adorable, and there's a great story behind it where she actually premiered this song at her tiny desk for NPR Music.
And called it a cute little love song.
And that is what it is. And it's interesting because I actually heard this song before her tiny desk came out, because I saw her live last year in Brooklyn for an incredible show. And she had clearly just filmed her tiny desk, because she announced to the crowd that she loved her setup for the tiny desk so much. She performed with a little group of string musicians that she was going to recreate it on stage. And she brought out the musicians that she had for her tiny desk and played it for the crowd. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, artists come to the tiny desk and they love their setup so much that they then bring it on the road with them. And it's just a beautiful little love song. Cute.
That's really great. I feel very heartwarmed that the tiny desk did that for her. That's sweet.
Well, let's go out on Glue Song, and it's really good doing this. We need to do this more often. Yeah?
Absolutely.
And when I got stuck for music, I'm going to reach out for you, or go to the Now Playing blog. Maybe you've put it up there or something like that. And ooh. Or Mercy doing the newsletter. Maybe folks can find out about that. How do they do that?
Always great stuff in the NPR Music newsletter. And if you're not already reading it, you can go to npr.org/musicnewsletter and sign up. It goes out every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. It has all the great stuff that we publish throughout the week in it.
Yeah, some lots tiny of desk news sometimes.
Yeah. Tiny desk news, new music, profiles and reviews that we've written, sometimes some fun little behind-the-scenes stuff. It's a delight.
Heck yeah.
Thank you, Hazel.
Time for Cute Love Song.
Yay!
Take care, everybody. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
I've never known someone like you, tangled in love, stuck by you, found a clue. Don't forget to kiss me, or else you'll have
Support for NPR and the following message come from Sattva. Sattva luxury mattresses are every bit as elegant as the most expensive brands, but because they're sold online, they're about half the price. Visit SAATVA.com/NPR and save an additional $200.
This message comes from NPR sponsor MassMutual. The Financial Educators Council says 39% of Americans don't have someone to go to for financial advice, but you can plan for the short and long term with someone backed by 170 years of financial expertise at massmutual.com.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them, and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.